Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dawn-o-mite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right. Good evening, everybody. It is April 5th, 2023. You know, Socrates once said that wisdom was knowing how much you did not know rather than how much you do know. Just when I am planning later on to have a little bit of an analysis about Tony Khan and if he suffers from the Dunning-Kruger effect, he goes and he announces, which honestly, biggest announcement probably in AEW's history, other than their formation. We'll talk about that in a little bit. I want to welcome everyone to Wednesday Night Dynamite. I am Don Tony. A little drained still from WrestleMania weekend, but a pretty decent edition of Dynamite. Not too much for me to complain about. We're going to talk a little bit about Dynamite, talk a little bit about NXT, a departure from NXT. I got to tell you, you know, in hindsight and in a little bit of deep thought, it's a shame that WWE could not do more with this tag team, but you know, the big news coming at the 10 o'clock hour tonight, and I think deep down inside we had a feeling this was going to go down. FTR is staying with AEW for the time being. And remember what we said? I'm going to bring up, I didn't have time to get the clip, but I know a majority of you out there will remember this comment I'm about to make. You know, when the rumors started to come out about WWE for sale, I think it was January 7th's episode when we talked about Vince McMahon coming back in charge. You see what has transpired in the last 24 hours about the, you know, the outcry against Vince McMahon. Funny thing about it is not one person is even bringing up, don't complain to WWE, don't complain to the wrestlers. Don't complain, hijack SmackDown, don't watch, don't buy this. Don't, I didn't see not one person confront Endeavor. Endeavor is the one that made this decision. The board of directors on both sides unanimously picked these people to be in power. You know why not one person is going after Endeavor? Because when you think of UFC, when you think of Power Slap, and you think of Dana White, and you think of everything going on, they know that these people will verbally come back and say, go fuck your mother. I mean, honestly, let's be honest. You could go after, you know, write this powerful stuff on Twitter when you know that everybody that you're calling out is not going to answer you. But, you know, but here's my point, and this has to do with FTR. You know, I did mention back in January that if WWE is no longer owned by the McMahons. Yes, it's a publicly traded company, but if an outside entity merges or purchases WWE, that personal attachment is no longer there. You know, you are now employed by somebody else, and you will see some wrestlers that no longer feel this emotional attachment to Vince McMahon, an emotional attachment to Triple H, an emotional attachment to the legacy of the McMahon family running this, you know, this company. It is now owned. It's going to merge. It's going to be a new corporation. And now it's strictly business once again. It's strictly business. Triple H, you know, when everybody says, oh, Vince took away Triple H's power. No, Triple H still has a lot of power, but he has to answer to Endeavor. And yes, Vince has the final say on that creative side. That doesn't mean that Endeavor cannot balk at stuff. You know, it's a whole new complicated ball game. But I think, you know, I think the hint, I think there was two hints by FTR in the last couple of days that, you know, we kind of felt like they were staying in AEW. Number one, it was cash. that was going out of his way to bring up that they have not won a match in 5 months, talking about their futility and getting into great detail about it. And, you know, you would think, even with the legacy, the current legacy of FTR, if you're on that bad of a ride and then you put it out there right before this match and then you end up losing this and you're gone from AEW, you know, it just makes it look 1,000 times worse. You know, perception and reality is very, very different in a lot of ways. You know, I didn't do it to piss people off, but how many months did I bring to y'all attention that FTR had like 5 matches all year for AEW? Everything else was covered up with AAA, IWGP, Ring of Honor. But as far as AEW stats were, they were 2-3 for the entire, I mean, leading up into the final month or two of 2022. I was pointing out that perception and reality is quite different. So for Cash to bring that out there 2 days before this match kind of felt like, all right, you know, they're going to obviously right the wrong. And the second thing is when Dax recently said, whatever their decision is, it's not about money, it's about family. And if you remember me joking last week, I said, could you imagine his kids? What do you mean it's not about money? You got to put me fucking through college. Of course it's about family, but it's about money too. Get more money, you keep us. Well, as you saw with the announcement tonight by Tony Khan, they are really going all in. I prefer to call it AEW Balls Out. I'll give him credit on this one. And yeah, as ridiculous as this may come across, you kind of feel like, you know, Tony Khan wants to remain in the same sentence as WWE. And when WWE just announces a $21 billion deal with Endeavor, UFC, you know, and Tony Khan, you know, nothing whatsoever mentioned by it. And we just had a pretty awesome WrestleMania weekend. You kind of feel like, how do I stay in the same sentence? How do I stay relevant? Well, you know, WrestleMania 1, we had 80,497 people in attendance. We go to night 2, we had 81,395. Tony Khan tonight is like, that's nothing. I'm going to go to Wembley. We're going to Wembley Stadium, seating capacity 90,000. All in. Interesting. First ever event was all in. And Tony Khan mentioned Cody Rhodes tonight. Tony Khan mentioned the Young Bucks, mentioned Kenny Omega. 5 years ago, they had an event called All In, which was the biggest independent show in history. And 5 years later, All In returns. And it's going to take place on August 27th in London, England at Wembley Stadium. This is what you can do when you are a crazy billionaire. Think about it. Even if he lost $100 million at Wembley, for you and I, that's like losing $1,000. I mean, honestly, do the math. You think that that's exaggerated. No, that's not. He could lose $100 million. Let me tell you something. You know, when you realize how hard it is to fill a building with 50,000 fans. Trust me, I criticize AEW when it's warranted. If I think something is whack, I will say it. If I praise something, if it deserves praise, I will praise it. But, you know, I will tell you this, there's going to be a lot of AEW haters out there that are going to say, this building's not even going to be filled half the capacity. And yes, when you have a show in a 90,000-seat building, even if you sell 40,000, the optics do not look good, especially if you have blimp shots or anything like that. I will tell you this. Do I think AEW will fill it to 90,000? No, no. But I think AEW will come close. And yes, I do believe a ton of people are going to have tickets for next to nothing. I mean, obviously, they're going to go on sale, and you're going to have people snatch up the best of the best as far as tickets go. But as we get close, now, for those that do live in the UK, or if you happen to be around that neck of the woods and you want to attend this event, tickets are going on sale May 5th. I actually have a little press release that I will share with you in a moment. Tickets are going to go on sale May 5th. That means tickets are going to be on sale for almost 4 months. So they're going to have a lot of time trying to sell tickets. And when it gets a little bit closer, that's when you'll see the tickets for $2, the tickets for $5. You'll have every radio station, every satellite show, every cable show with blocks of tickets to give away as comps. They're going to fill it as much as possible for the fucking optics. If you want to turn around and you want to say that it sounds a little bit petty as far as Tony Khan goes, hey, if I have $9-10 billion in my pocket or in my bank or investments, and I despise WWE and Vince McMahon and Tony Khan and everybody else, and I'm going to put a lot of money into a building that could actually outdraw WrestleMania, you best damn believe that I will fucking do everything I possibly can in my power to get 90,000 people in there. I mean, think about it. I mean, that puts AEW in Twilight Zone. That's bizarro land to get to that point. But hey, this is good for wrestling fans. This is good for fans in the UK. This is good for AEW fans. This is good for the wrestlers. Now, here's the thing. Do they work out a deal with CM Punk? Now I'm starting to think that, yes, despite all the bullshit, despite Meltzer going a little bit overboard with his stuff, despite what Moxley said and Jericho has said and others, I think now you have to start legitimately looking at this roster and say to yourself, how the fuck do we fill 90,000 seats? You don't have a Roman Reigns. You don't have a Cody Rhodes. You don't have, you know, these talents that have proven could draw 40, 50, 60, 70,000. You know, remember something, and I'm not trying to throw any shade towards AEW right now. Au contraire. But when you really look at that company and you look at that roster, look at the card from AEW All In. That card was pretty stacked at the time. And look how much and how hard it took to sell out 10, 15,000 seats, whatever it was, even 20,000. You tell me what is going to be the main event on something like this. You almost feel like they have to work out a deal with CM Punk. Do I think CM Punk is alone could draw 90,000? No, of course not. But you best damn believe with the roster they currently have right now, you know, you start mixing and matching and blending and try. Forbidden Door ain't going to do it. Sorry. Jay White signed with AEW. Now, I'm not throwing shade on Fightful, but they're very, very careful with their words. And Sean Ross Sapp said tonight, and I don't have his exact quote in front of me, but he said that there were some within AEW, within WWE were hoping that, you know, they would still be able to sign, work out a deal with Jay White. And he's right. I do not dispute what Sean said. The word that's missing, though, is management. There's a lot of wrestlers within WWE that would love to have Jay White there. The problem is the people who do matter, the corporate side, you know, the Triple H's, the Vince McMahon's, the Nick Khan's, you know, if you want to include Bruce Pritchard or Kevin Dunn or anyone else, they're the ones that are not talking to the journalists. So when you hear that, oh, you know, people were holding out hope that WWE could work out something with Jay White, those are wrestlers saying this. And trust me, I don't think those wrestlers are going to be like, you know, like Vince is walking by or Triple H and they're tugging him on the shoulder. What? Can you sign Jay White? I want to wrestle him on Raw. You know, they don't do that. So, you know, the thing is, was there ever really a push by WWE management to sign Jay White? I'm not so sure about that. Vincent made his Ring of Honor return. And Dutch, I almost said Butch. You know, I have Butch on the brain because obviously at the beginning of the show you saw, I mean, we paid tribute to him on Monday, but Butch, the Bushwhackers, Robert Miller passed away at 78 years old. But Dutch and Vincent, they made their Ring of Honor returns at Ring of Honor's pay-per-view WrestleMania weekend. And the thing that, you know, I'm starting to hear now is, you know, Vincent had a tryout match, but was there ever really a strong push to sign him? I know some people on the surface will think, oh, well, the Bray Wyatt deal all failed miserably, so WWE changed their mind. Let me be straight up and honest with all of you out there. Do you think in your right mind that if WWE were to sign these two guys, it would be strictly just for Bray Wyatt stuff? And then that's it? You mean to tell me that because Bray Wyatt, you know, went home, illness, whatever it is, that they're like, oh, no, you know what? Fuck him. You know, we don't need him no more. I think that's a little bit, you know, maybe that's something you would do with a tiny company. But in a major company, if you see a crazy-ass talent, somebody you think you can make money with, you're going to sign that person and try to make money with them. And the thing is that you got to, that's why I always say you got to be very, very careful with some places out there because they mix emotion with news. All right. You saw this play for Jay White and WWE. And if you followed some sites, you ever notice that the sites that gush over Bullet Club, that gush over Jay White, all make this perception that Jay White is the hottest free agent in the world? Jay White wrestled 20 times in Impact Wrestling. In fact, I forgot to close the page, and I'm glad that I didn't. In less than a year ago, Jay White and Chris Bey took on the Briscoes. Josh Alexander and Tomohiro Ishii took on Jay White and El Fantasmo. Chris Bey and Jay White took on Rich Swann and Willie Mack. Chris Sabin and Jay White took on Steve Macklin. Actually, it was a three-way. Jay White took on Chris Sabin. I could go on and on and on. Jay White took on Alex Shelley. You know, Juice Robinson and David Fidley took on Chris Bey and Jay White. All in Impact Wrestling. Did it change the numbers? No. Me, in my lifetime, if I have some favorite wrestlers out there, and they happen to be on TV, and I'm not doing nothing. I don't care if it's for WWE. I don't care if it's for Vagina Championship Wrestling. I don't care if it's for Bush League or Mike's Wrestling and Ribs. If one of my fucking favorites, if Terry Funk, Brian Pillman, who are in the back of me, Eddie Guerrero, somebody that are my favorites, and they're wrestling and they're still doing it, and then I hear that they're going to be on Impact Wrestling Thursday night, I'm probably going to tune in just to see their match because I'm a huge fan of this. They did not move the fucking needle once. And please do not give me, well, it didn't happen in AEW, then you're truly not a huge fan of that wrestler. But you got to be very close attention to the people out there that hope, that have emotion, that really appreciate these wrestlers. They want to see them in these companies. And they know that if you put them in, you know, like in Impact Wrestling and MLW, it gets very little exposure. You know, and they didn't change the needle. Forbidden Door is not selling 90,000 seats. Jay White tonight made his AEW debut. And if you watched it closely, when he ran down the ring, pay attention to the fans that you could see on camera. You had a couple of people like this. Most people, their arms didn't move. See where my arms are right now? Like this? Their arms didn't move. But a phenomenon that happens at wrestling events, and I've seen it happen for decades, phenomenon happens at wrestling events is everybody wants to have fun and everybody wants to be part of interaction. And when he hit the ring and there was very, very little reaction, you get a few people that are going, holy shit, holy shit. So if I'm sitting in section 302 and the people next to me are all going, holy shit, to be part of it, then I start going, holy shit, holy shit. Now everybody else is like, holy shit. It's like doing a wave. It's like doing a wave. You got a few people that do it. Next thing you know, the whole place is doing it. And then you're like, oh, wow, they all, you know, you watch his debut and pay very close attention. And I'm not throwing shade on Jay White. It's just that he's not a household name yet. I don't care 8,000 people online trended. I don't care if 2,000 people like a tweet. I don't care if 1,000 people like someone's comment. You're talking about hundreds of thousands, if not millions of fans. You know, social media is a tiny little fraction of a percentage. When you hear about Nielsen ratings and you see 400,000 people watched Rampage, no. A lot more people watched Rampage. It's just that there's only 400,000 because it's monitored by Nielsen boxes or however they have their connections these days. Does Nielsen monitor me? When I turn off Rampage and I'm like, hey, I'm not, I turn my TV off right after Dynamite. You think when I turned it off, I'm like, ha, now I'm not going to be part of All Access's rating. Ha ha, fuck you. No, whether I watch it or I don't, whether I tape it, record it, DVR it, or I don't, whether I replay it over and over and over again until I memorize every segment of my, I'm not part of the ratings. There's a lot more people than what is perceived. But you look at the overall picture, they're going to have to add some names if they're going to really, really sell this building out. Because you look at a lot of shows even now. I know pay-per-views usually do well, 10,000, 15,000. You know, there's a big difference from 15,000 to even 70,000. I mean, just think about that. Even if it's 50,000, that's why, if you remember not too long ago, WWE was going to do, what was it, SummerSlam? And then everybody was laughing like, ha, 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 ha. They didn't sell as many seats, so they moved to a smaller place. I think it was SummerSlam, was it? And then they had 40,000, they sold like 40, 50,000 tickets. And people like, ha, 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 you had to move. Ha, 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 you didn't sell. They still sold 40, 50,000 tickets. So, you know, Wembley, ballsy, ballsy. Whether it's a dumb move or not, honestly, I'm not going to analyze that. I'm not going to say if it was a stupid move by Tony Khan. Tony Khan is a billionaire. If Tony Khan wants to spend all his money and overpay and take losses just for what he wants to do for AEW, that's his right. If he wants to take all his money and help the homeless, that's his right. If he wants to take all of his money and invest it in the stock market, that's his right. If he wants to take all of his money and invest it in protest groups, you know, on whatever side of the aisle you're on, that's his right. If he wants to buy fucking 80 cars and compete with Jay Leno and talk garages, that's his right. Whatever he wants to do, that's his right. He's got the money. He could do it. You know, me as a wrestling fan, I hope we reap the rewards. You know, it's like going to a party. Somebody's going to have a party. All right. And, you know, everybody's going to be wearing shorts and there's a pool. It's just like a regular house and you're expecting hamburgers and hot dogs. But the guy that's running the party, you know, wants everyone to ooh and ah over him. Oh, look at this display. And you show up and there's hors d'oeuvres and there's caviar. And you know this motherfucker charged $50,000 worth of stuff just to impress, where probably a Corona and a hot dog would have been just as good. Especially if it's the right kind of hot dog, skinless, you know. So if Tony Khan wants to go over and above, you know, that's his right to do. I hope we reap the rewards. I hope we reap the rewards. So here is the press release. There's really not much for me to add to it. And by the way, that segment was pre-recorded, by the way. During tonight's Dynamite, Tony Khan, Adam Cole, Nigel McGuinness, who also just signed with AEW. That's a good move. Nigel is not going to just do Ring of Honor stuff. He's also going to be doing AEW stuff as well, by the way. That's why he was announced as All Elite, not just Ring of Honor stuff. That AEW is going to be going to Wembley Sunday, August 27th. It'll be AEW's first show outside of North America. First time pro wrestling has taken center stage at Wembley in over 30 years. Tickets go on sale May 5th. And you could pre-register for early access for tickets by going to ticketmaster.cu.uk/AEW Wembley. And here is some quotes from Tony Khan as well. You know, somewhat exaggerated numbers. You know, we're not going to read the whole thing. But, hey, I wish them the best, seriously. That is a huge move. It's probably the second biggest announcement in AEW history. So, good for them. Good for them. That's what I have to say. Tonight on Dynamite from Long Island, you know, props to a few of you out there that actually, you know, took the information from me and actually went and had a great time. Yesterday, you know, in Oyster Bay, MJF was given the key to the town. Now, Oyster Bay's this big, But I deal with the Oyster Bay Building Department, the licensing division. Joe Saladino, I've met a few times in the past. Joe Saladino is a pretty funny guy, actually. Got booed out of the building because, you know, he comes off a little bit prickish on Long Island. But, you know, I had gotten the word yesterday morning that, hey, you know, they're going to allow, you know, fans to witness, you know, MJF getting the key to the town. And I put it on my social media. And I was like, hey, you know, for everybody who lives locally, if you go to Audrey Avenue, I think it's 74 Audrey Avenue. If you go to Audrey Avenue this afternoon, you'll be able to meet MJF. Believe it or not, News 12 covered it. Local papers covered it. New York Newsday covered it. And I think Newsday covered it. I know the Post did. But after it was over, MJF actually was taking pictures with fans, signing autographs. He was being a little bit of, you know, MJF, as he always does. But, you know, a lot of this love for MJF, as far as Long Island, is legit. It is absolutely legit. So, you know, a couple of you DM me and show me some of your personal photos going to the event. And I'm glad. I'm glad. I was glad to help some of you out there. Now, tonight, it got a little bit bizarre. It got a little bit bizarre. So even though he got the key, ooh, I just closed the photo by accident. Even though he got the key to the town yesterday, that's Joe Saladino in the middle. But MJF, they decided to do a ceremony on TV tonight. And they, on the right, they gave him like a wooden, you know, key to hang up in his house. But, you know, he did a ceremony. But, you know, we had something weird happen. And it was interesting to see the fan response online. Because, my friends, MJF tonight, if you look behind him, it's the Mike Rogers Band who does music locally on Long Island. They perform. And the Mike Rogers Band is performing music, and MJF gets into a rendition of Pennies from Heaven. I think he was trying to do his best Frank Sinatra. Pennies from Heaven has been sung by everyone from Bing Crosby to Frank Sinatra to others. But MJF goes in a full-blown singing routine. And the funny thing about it was he killed it. He knocked it out of the park. And I'm watching everybody online tonight, and like, oh, it was amazing. It was great, awesome. The guy killed it. And then I think to myself, oh, you hypocritical motherfuckers. You hypocritical motherfuckers. Me and my shadow. Anybody remember that? Me and my shadow when he sang with Chris Jericho. Everybody's like, oh, that fucked MJF's career. And look at Jericho and look how he polluted MJF. People not realizing how much MJF is a fan of Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and others. And the funny thing about it, too, is look at the outfit. My friends, look at the outfit. Hold on. Let me pull it up. Look, he wore the same outfit tonight that he wore with Chris Jericho. He did the same thing tonight. Epic, amazing, unbelievable, greatest thing ever. Hair is trimming, you know, raising on my arm. And then when he did it with Jericho, you see what Jericho did? He fucked MJF. He almost killed his career. You remember all that? Pepperidge Farm remembers. So a lot of people tonight are a little bit hypocritical, you know, because now they realize, oh, maybe this wasn't all Jericho back then. Maybe Jericho didn't fuck him up. But I like the segment. Sammy Guevara cutting an amazing promo tonight. He took on Commander and beat him, and it was an excellent match. Then Sammy cuts a promo, and some of it was, you know, it's again, as we always point out, it sounds good, but when you actually think about it, it kind of doesn't make sense. When he talks about how MJF, his pillar was built by cheating and using people and stuff like that. I'm like, you know, not for nothing. I think Sammy Guevara kind of like followed the same footsteps. But, you know, Sammy's talking about 2020 history with MJF. And the only reason why he lost is because of Sean Spears in a chair. But Sammy says that MJF, you know, he was Cody's friend. Yes, he name dropped Cody. Cody was name dropped twice tonight. He was Cody's friend until he wasn't. He was Tony's friend until he wasn't. He was part of the inner circle, the pinnacle of the firm, until he wasn't. He uses people to get where he's at. And he says that, unlike MJF, he's not using AEW to go anywhere else. He met his wife in AEW. He loves AEW, and he's there to stay in AEW. And Sammy killing it on the mic tonight. The problem is, you're in fucking Long Island. You're in fucking New York, Matarazz. And look, Sammy towards the end covering himself up. I don't care about shitty Long Island. Trust me, Sammy's promo is supposed to get the respect of the AEW fans. Even though he's a heel, you want each person in this match to have people have an interest in them possibly winning this championship. Sammy cut a great fucking promo tonight. I wish it would have been done next week, to be honest with you. I don't know what the rush was to do it this week, but, you know, MJF with a very, very, MJF gets on a mic and talks about, and again, when I say that the fans just want a chant to have fun and be part of something, MJF reveals that, you know, he suffered from ADD, attention deficit disorder, when he was a kid. And the crowd, how many of you out there, ADD, ADD, ADD? And then I'm reading people on social media, you know, that's beautiful that people could come out and reveal that they had this and they're strong. And I'm like, oh, please go masturbate in a different room. Something that I don't have to see in here. Like, shut the fuck up. It's a segment. The story was Mrs. Benedict, MJF's teacher, who says, MJF, you know, Maxwell, when are you going to use your brain? You're always daydreaming in my class. And he always daydreamed about professional wrestling. And one day he's going to be champion. And Mrs. Benedict is like, shut up and just get under the table, you prick. And she's like, oh, you'll never do that. So MJF's inspirational message for everyone out there, don't be like that bitch. It's funny. It's entertaining. But to see like a whole ton of people going ADD, ADD, you know, it's just people having fun. It's just people having fun. But, you know, interesting. You know, MJF was going to sing a second song and Jack Perry comes out, ruins the fun. Jack Perry gets booed out of the building. Darby Allin's watching Sammy's match from the rafters. Jack Perry's watching Sammy's match from the back. So, you know, they're building this up to double or nothing. So, you know, a couple of moments tonight. You know, the Acclaimed, again, because of, you know, the situation, you know, with the tag team division. AEW doesn't want the Acclaimed anywhere near the titles right now. So they're intertwined with the Jericho Appreciation Society. And as we all knew, you know, the Acclaimed come out and say, no, we're not joining the Jericho Appreciation Society. Max Caster cuts a rap and basically tells them, you know, Jericho's full of shit and all this other stuff. And Angelo Parker's like, I think you said that you don't want to be part of us, but I got us an 8-man tag match, which is probably going to be against the Factory. Maybe. Well, actually, maybe not, because QT Marshall gets a tag team title shot at Battle of the Belts, which happens on Saturday. Did you know that? It's Friday. We're getting Rampage from 10 to 11, and we're getting Battle of the Belts from 11 to 12. And if you're curious what the lineup is, Rampage Friday is going to be Anna Jay versus Julie Hart. Ethan Page and Hook will have a rematch. And we did get a little bit more bizarro tonight. We knew that Ethan Page and Matt Hardy were going to be going their separate ways. Hook took on Ethan Page. And Isaiah Cassidy and Matt Hardy were in the corner of Ethan Page. Towards the end of the match, Matt Hardy grabs the FTW's title. He decides to knock out Ethan Page with it. Smashes him right in the head with the title. Ethan Page gets knocked out. Hook gets the pin. And Isaiah Cassidy is actually happy with Matt Hardy. And yes, the storyline, remember, if they lost the match, that they would have, the firm would own them and all that. So, yeah. But Hook gives him a high five as well. So now I'm starting to think. I know some people are going to be like, DT, that's probably not a good idea. And you're probably right. I think we got to start counting down the days. I think Jeff Hardy's going to make his AEW return. Jeff Hardy, all the buzz coming out, I don't want to say of his camp. I don't talk to anybody in his camp. But those who do talk to people very close to him, family, friends, you know, and they talk to others. And, you know, I get, that's how I get some of third-hand information. Hey, how's he doing? You know, I've seen some of the pictures lately of him. Everything I hear is that this was his rock bottom, that since that happened. He has gone into rehab. Maybe he originally went into rehab to avoid jail time. Sure, absolutely. But he has been clean. And that monitor device, remember that device that I told you all about that nobody talked about? That probably saved his life. And he still has to be monitored. This doesn't go away simply because they worked out a deal. I think Jeff Hardy may be nearing a return to AEW, at least in the next couple of months. Hardy's versus FTR in Wembley, that's not a bad idea, six. If Jeff Hardy remains in a good place, and listen, you know, spiritually, physically, he's in a great place right now. What happens when he starts doing the wrestling again? I know a lot of us can't resist to see him doing these crazy dives and swantons off of ladders, off of the top of buildings, going through tables. We might need to lower our expectations with Jeff Hardy. I don't think Jeff Hardy would ever, you know, like really water down his arsenal that much, but he will definitely need to cut back on certain things that, you know, we're going to forget about the move 30 minutes later, but 30 hours later, he ain't forgetting about it because his tailbone hurts, his hip hurts, his pelvis is killing him, his legs, his ankle, his neck, his back, his pussy, and his crack. Ah, I got it in there. Not intentional. So we got to lower what we expect from Jeff Hardy. So I think he's going to return. I have that vibe. I feel it. I kind of feel it. And I think maybe tonight starts the beginning of Matt Hardy, you know, splitting away and then maybe reforming the Hardys again. But Ethan Page gets a rematch at Rampage against Hook. Taya Valkyrie and Jay Cargill are going to have a face-to-face. Swerve Strickland is going to have a major announcement. We're going to have Darby Allin versus Lee Moriarty. That's Rampage for Friday. Battle of the Belts Friday. Boy, they're really looking for a shitty number. The Lucha Bros are going to defend the Ring of Honor tag titles against QT Marshall and Will Hobbs. Jay Cargill is taking on Billy Starks. Billy Sparks, I think it is. And Orange Cassidy is going to take on Drillistico for the International Championship. I almost made a mistake there. You know, I'm curious how you all feel about this. I appreciate those who understand that why I wrote it the way I did. The Lucha Bros won the Ring of Honor tag titles over the weekend. And I said, is that a good move or is that ass backwards? And I put ass in quotations because the ass boys, the guns, were the current AEW tag titles. Even though they're going to appear on Battle of the Belts, you know, doesn't it feel ass backwards that going into tonight, the guns maybe should have been Ring of Honor tag titles? And please don't give me Ring of Honor's legacy and history. How could you put the guns in Ring of Honor? You know, it feels like some people are being kept in Ring of Honor because they're not going to get that push on AEW. And there's some names in Ring of Honor, without us pointing out anybody specifically, you probably say to yourself, wow, you know, they deserve much more than this. Not just a 15,000 subscriber, you know, the See Honor Club and a pay-per-view once every bunch of months and then the occasional match on Rampage or Battle of the Belts. I mean, you're not going to see a lot of what these people are doing. So I kind of feel like the Lucha Bros, I mean, sure, they're going to still be on Dynamite. By the way, where's Pac? And another week, before anybody says it, the Redeemer, he redeemed another week. Hey, here's a little news tidbit. I'm not going to even put it in a synopsis, but Andrade, WrestleMania weekend, did a little bit of an interview for a Spanish channel. And, you know, I don't speak Espanol, so I didn't translate it, but someone did for me. And Andrade celebrating this weekend. Charlotte, it's her birthday. I think today's her birthday. Yeah, she has the same birthday as my wife. Today's my wife's birthday as well. Mrs. de Blasi, happy birthday. But they were out celebrating Charlotte's birthday, and Andrade revealed that his contract with AEW is just about up. Only thing is, and I know you know what I'm about to say, Andrade with the injury, you kind of think that AEW is going to add that time to the deal. So Andrade may be stuck in AEW till the end of the year. So even though his contract is almost up, they're probably going to extend time on there. I don't know if that's actually worked into the contract or if it's optional. I'm not sure about that. My guess is it's in the contract because I look at it like this. I'll use Kenny Omega, for example. Well, you know, let's use Andrade, for example. Let's say Andrade, his contract is over in a month. And then it ends up he stays till the end of the year. What would happen if WWE turned around and said, hey, Andrade, how much did AEW pay you for your contract? Oh, they gave me $1 million a year. All right, so how long were you out of action? Oh, I was out of action with an injury for 7 months. So I lose $500,000 or I work with them for those 7 months. What if WWE says, all right, you know what? We'll take care of that $500,000. We'll add it on to the contract we're going to offer you. So, you know, Andrade, you know, might actually take that. He's like, hey, I could leave now. I get the money anyway. So if Andrade ends up staying longer, it's probably because it was in his contract and not necessarily choice. So just a little tidbit as far as Andrade go. All right, so we talked about a few. Yeah, here's the Lucha Bros winning a Ring of Honor tag titles. You know, hey, it's a fucking shame what happened with Jay Briscoe, and obviously Mark Briscoe is not going to wrestle in tag team competition anymore, you know, for the foreseeable future, and I don't see him doing it for years, if even that. But, you know, he'll do trios, and he'll do singles, and maybe four guys, but he's not doing two on two. So Lucha Bros winning the championships, new belt design, you know. The only thing is I kind of wish the Lucha Bros, you know, would be focused more on Dynamite, and then maybe you put the guns in Ring of Honor. They're not that bad. But, you know, you develop them, I think, you know, you take the pressure off of them a little bit. So, what am I to say that, right? Here's another one, Christian Cage. And who knows? Me talking about injuries and adding on time. Don Tony, you should have thought of that a couple of weeks ago. Because Christian Cage lost that match against Jungle Boy, Jack Perry, and we were looking at the anniversary of his contract and like, oh, his deal just finished. Or if it was the amount of years that we thought it was, it just finished. Oh, but we forgot if he would do the injury, they may have added extra time. So Christian Cage is still in AEW, and this was a vignette tonight. Nothing was said, just a red light bulb. Let's be honest, it was a red fucking light bulb. And Luchasaurus, a little bit of a tweaked mask. When he walked up, I thought it was like, wait, what member of the Road Warriors, the Legion of Doom, is still alive? Because you looked at the red and the black, you honestly thought, oh, no, God, did they sign Heidenreich? Isn't he the only one left? Heidenreich. So, hey, it's good to see Christian and Luchasaurus. I like Luchasaurus. He's not that bad. I know, you know, what does Cornette call him? Dino Douche. But, you know, it is what it is. So, hey, good news is Edge is not retiring yet. You know, he actually did an interview. There's a few people that he would still love to face till he's retired. So who knows? If Christian Cage, if his contract was nearing to an end and they put extra time on it because of injury, there's still a possibility that he comes back to the WWE in 2023. We'll see what happens. So just to get into the other match results tonight, Juice Robinson and Ricky Starks never happened. They said it was a no contest. I don't think the bell ever rang. Maybe it did. I wasn't paying attention, but Jay White shows up, and him and Juice Robinson beat down Ricky Starks, leave him laying. We did get a backstage promo with Keith Lee and Chris Jericho. This was interesting. Basically, Chris Jericho cut a promo and said that Adam Cole was very, very disrespectful, and he was disrespectful to Daniel Garcia last week, so Keith Lee shows up and, greetings and salutations. How's about I beat your ass? He didn't actually say it that way, but Jericho and Keith Lee are going to have a match, so, hey, it's not that bad. I'll take it for now. House of Black over Orange Cassidy and Best Friends to retain the Trios titles. Jamie Hayter over Riho. interesting. Once again, the Outcast are in the back cutting a promo that one of them is going to dethrone Jamie Hayter of her championship. Nobody in the women's division ever mentions that bitch. Anybody notice that? They purposely leave. I mean, AEW does that, not the women. But it's as if Jay, and honestly, in storyline, if I was Jay Cargill, I'd go out there and cut a promo. You know, like all of these women, none of them they're all afraid. They won't even mention my name. They all want to take down Jamie Hayter. They don't even mention my name because they're afraid of this bitch. Not even that. Not even that. The Blackpool Combat Club over. I only knew one of these three guys because he wrestles here in Long Island. Absolute Alvin, the three guys that the Blackpool Combat Club beat. It was Absolute Alvin, Aaron Rourke, and Brother Greatness. Brother Greatness! After the match is over, Brian Danielson gets on the mic. He expresses his love for his family, expresses his love for Moxley, for Claudio, even Yuta, even though he's a little shithead. He called him a shithead. He says, they look like pro wrestlers. Their opponents that they just beat the shit out of look like talent that the EVPs would sign. Remember what we said last week. I could not find one podcast that put the two together and said, aha, Bryan Danielson is doing what CM Punk was supposed to be doing. Now talking about the EVPs. And this is amateur hour. And, you know, it kind of feels more, again, like outcasts. All right, we got the women. They're the pros and the originals are the amateurs. Now Bryan Danielson is doing it as well. Amateur, amateur, you're all amateurs. We're the only pro wrestlers. And after what I saw this weekend, taking a shot at WWE, we're the only real pro wrestlers in the Americas. Hangman Page comes out. Hangman Page immediately gets the shit knocked out of him. Bryan Danielson is like, here comes another amateur. And he's taunting Bryan Hangman Page, and he's like, you know, nobody loves you. Nobody's coming out to save you. When I get home, I've been teaching my kids how to fix the house, and it's time the Blackpool Combat Club fixes AEW's house because it's filled with amateurs. Amateur, 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 amateur. I must have said it like 15 times. So that's where they're going with this. Then the funny thing towards the end, Bryan Danielson grabs a screwdriver. He starts digging in the head with Hangman Page. You know, we didn't see any blood. We didn't see any, you know, but it was what it was. And nobody comes to the rescue for Hangman Page. Then we had the main event, as I said earlier, FTR winning the AEW Tag Team Championships, defeating the Guns. The story of this match, it didn't feel as big as it should have. And I think because deep down inside, we all had a feeling that the Guns were going to lose the belts. But I did like the storyline of the match. And we said it last week, right after Dynamite. Remember last week, we noticed that if they get disqualified, FTR is still gone. And that's what the Guns were trying to do tonight in storyline. They were doing whatever they could to get disqualified. And towards the end of the match, the referee lifted his arm to call for the bell, and Cash grabs his arm. No, no, our careers will be over in AEW. You cannot do that. So the referee doesn't call for the bell. And the next thing you know, we get FTR with a double pin. And I'm fine with it. I mean, you know, again, the Guns, I just feel they should have kept the belts on the Acclaimed. But it, you know, they gave a little run for the Guns. At least what we got out of it right now is that FTR are staying in AEW. We don't know how long. We don't know how long. My gut tells me at least a year. Because remember what I even said last week. Whether Endeavor was working out with this deal with WWE or not. Remember what I said last week. You know, if their contracts are up and WWE really wants them bad, they're not going to turn around. And if Dax or Cash like called like WWE management, and it's not just Triple H, if you think about it. And they're like, Tony would like us to stay for 3 more months. Would like us to stay for 6 more months because they're going to do Wembley and they really need us for Wembley. And, you know, could we still work out a deal 6 months from now? I don't care how much they're friends. I would turn around and say, go fuck yourself. You want to sign with us, you do it now or you don't do it. And I think, again, with the Endeavor deal, things are not as personal as it used to be. And FTR staying with AEW, hey, let's see what happens with FTR over the next 6 months. I truly believe that FTR will be used a lot better than before. The only thing that we have to get past is Forbidden Door. Forbidden Door. Because that's happening soon. And a lot of what you see on TV is going to set up Forbidden Door. When you see Bullet Club on the screen, honestly, I don't give a shit about Bullet Club anymore. Bullet Club is on Japan. Bullet Club is, every week, Bullet Club is on Impact Wrestling. Bullet Club is here. It's kind of stupid when you see that Juice Robinson is all elite and he signed with AEW and then 3 weeks later, Bullet Club, the Forbidden Door. Forbidden Door what? He signed with you. He's AEW now. He's not Bullet Club anymore. This is not NWO. You know, let's Tony Khan does the Bischoff that I still think is going to happen. That was a prediction I made a while ago. You know, I mean, a lot of fans, I will admit it, a lot of fans don't think that deep. They just live for the moment. Oh, it was cool. It was epic. It was amazing. I loved it. It was great. Give me more. Give me more. Give me more. You know, but I look at it and I'm like, wait a minute. Is there something wrong with me? Did I smoke tonight? Like, Juice Robinson signed with AEW. He's all elite. I don't give a fuck what you put on the screen. He ain't an outsider anymore. It's not Forbidden Door. It's not. And Jay White, look. They put the fucking Bullet Club symbol on the screen tonight. And at the same time this happens, Tony Khan is on Twitter. Look, Jay White is all elite. But we're supposed to get the suspension of disbelief that they're still outsiders. Oh, no. Sorry. I don't mind suspension of disbelief, but I don't want to, you know, feel like I'm 10 years old. Like, you shut up and you take your medicine and you will enjoy it. You shut up and stop making sense. Damn you. But FTR winning the championships should have happened last year. But, hey. Better late than never. We now go into Wembley, and you know they're going to up their game. Now we have to see what happens with, like I said before, CM Punk. Maybe some people leave WWE. You know, it's not out of the question. You know, the Vince McMahon stuff online, again, I see what's going on the last day or two. We called that a long time ago, and honestly, it doesn't faze me. We just had an awesome WrestleMania weekend, all right? And I pointed out, Kevin, and by the way, here's a little cheap plug. Kevin and I yesterday recorded not only a WrestleMania review, we also talked about the Raw after. We talked about the road to Backlash, the road to Saudi Arabia. We talked about a little bit of the Endeavor deal. We talked a lot of stuff yesterday, but we pointed it out also. You know, we brought up a couple of Raw after WrestleManias. Do you remember the match with Sheamus and Randy Orton? Where the fans were chanting everything, throwing a ball in the air, going, Michael Cole, RVD, JBL, chanting everybody, and they didn't care about the match at all. That happened to Raw after WrestleMania. Remember the night that John Cena, the Raw after WrestleMania, when he lost to The Rock, he came out on Raw, and that whole Raw sucked. Up until the final moments of Raw, John Cena, I lost, I will admit it. He turned Southern that day. I lost. I will admit it. I want The Rock to come out here so I could tell him he was the better man because I lost. And there was a brief pause, and then Brock Lesnar's music hits. And I said it, and I'll never forget it. Whatever building it was, the blah, blah, blah arena has come unglued. That's what Michael Cole, that was the Raw after WrestleMania. There's been a lot of shitty Raw after WrestleManias over the years. But we just had a great weekend of pro wrestling. The Raw 24 hours after night two, I'm going to complain that it was subpar. Yeah, it's like me fucking getting laid on Friday and then fulfilling a fantasy and having six women on Saturday, and they clean my house on top of it. I'm sorry, on Sunday. And then Monday comes, and I don't know, somebody farts in my face or something like that. And I'm going to complain and shit, and like, you'll start petitions and fire this, and this sucks, and this is ruined, and this and that. And I'm like, oh, petulant children out there. Petulant children. You got crazy. You got everything you wanted on Saturday. Almost everything you wanted on Sunday. Had an amazing emotional ride. And then Monday comes. Wah, I didn't get what I wanted. Wah, no Jay White. Wah, no Randy Orton. Wah, no NXT stars. You don't even watch NXT. Wah, no Roxanne Perez. Wah, no Bron Breakker. I got news for you. Give you a little news right now. We could segue to it. WWE has a problem with NXT right now. Anybody that watches it on a regular basis, you already know what the problem is. The NXT at last night, right after Stand and Deliver, Melo is champion. Only 555,000 viewers. Pew. Bron Breakker showed up at the very end. Carmelo Hayes doing the opposite of John Cena. I won! I want my opponent to come out here so I could shake his hand. I won. And then Bron Breakker comes out, shakes Carmelo Hayes' hand, and then lays him out with a clothesline. Beats the fuck out of Carmelo, beats the fuck out of Trick Williams. Bron Breakker is a heel. And we go off the air with Bron Breakker pissed off. He is not impressed with Carmelo Hayes. Why did they do that? Bron Breakker is going to the main roster. The problem is, and you have felt this, you have seen it, and you could feel it, nobody stopped to think, who is Carmelo Hayes going to feud with first? When we did predictions, that was the big question. Was Trick Williams going to turn on him? I don't think so. Like who? Dijak? A member of Indus Shear? Grayson Waller just had his title shot. It's certainly not going to be the members of the Dyad, which we'll talk about in a second. Like, who is he going to feud with? Are we going to get a surprise return to NXT? So when you look at it, even Indy Hartwell, who is she going to feud with? Maybe Cora Jade when everything is said and done. They're probably going to have to put Indy Hartwell up against 3, 4, 5 women. And this way everybody could beat the shit out of each other and Indy Hartwell will sneak a victory. Because the problem is, Indy Hartwell, she's great, but she's lost almost every match over the last 8 months. Now she wins the championship, and we're supposed to forget that WWE's been jobbing her the fuck out for the last 8 months. So WWE's big problem right now is the lack of main event caliber opponents for NXT standards. The toxic attraction split has failed. It has failed. And the thing is, and Psycho, no disrespect, the fact you're saying Tony D'Angelo tells me you don't watch it on a regular basis. Tony D'Angelo got a title shot, and he's nowhere near that he could feud with Carmelo Hayes and put something up good. And I don't blame you. I don't blame any of you out there that don't watch it right now, because honestly, I find myself a lot less interested now, because here is their problem, to summarize it. If you look at the last 12 months, Tiffany Stratton upped her game big time. Cora Jade upped her game big time. Roxanne Perez is putting it all together. Alba Fyre, new life with Isla Dawn. Even Katana Chance and Kayden Carter, you know, people were like, oh, they're the most polished of the roster. And you got a lot of women that are on the verge to get promoted. The problem is you don't have anybody that stands out so much like a Rhea Ripley, like a Raquel Rodriguez, like someone that you could keep there for a little bit longer so they could headline. And what WWE is going to do is they're going to put some of these NXT stars on the main roster. It could happen as soon as Friday, but some of these names are going to remain in NXT for a little while, at least into the summer. because you take Bron Breakker out of there, you take Roxanne Perez out of there, you take Zoe Stark out of there, you take anybody you want out of there. These are good enough names that they could headline an NXT event. So there's going to be some people who are going to do double duty for a little while. None of those participants, they go to the main roster. Nobody ever brings up who they get a feud with first. Like, really, if Bron Breakker goes to the main roster, who's he going to feud with? Like, I saw people saying, oh, put him up against Bobby Lashley, and then what? If he loses right off the bat, that doesn't really, like, he doesn't come in with a blaze of glory. If Bron Breakker beats Bobby Lashley, oh, they fucked him even further. Like, people think of fantasy matches, and that's cool and everything, but you got to think of outcomes and what happens afterwards. That's why, in hindsight, I'm so glad they put the belt on Indy Hartwell, because I have said this every single week for probably the last 2 months. All these petitions and outcries online, bring Indy Hartwell to the main roster. What the fuck are they waiting for? It's so wrong. Everybody on the way is on the main roster of her. And what did I say all the time? And what is she going to do? She's going to do more segments with Dexter Lumis, and the main roster is going to be fine with that. I mean, maybe for a couple of weeks. And then what? She is going to, why am I doing goldfish lips? She is going to team up with Candice LeRae, and they're going to suddenly win. What is she going to do? She's going to beat Dana Brooke. She might beat Xia Li. And then she gets squashed by about 9 women. Like, people like, oh, bring it to the main round. Oh, I feel so good. Triple H, Booker of the Year. Don't let Vince give you another heart attack. Yeah. Tell me how it's working out for Emma. Tell me how it's working out for Hit Row. Tell me how it's working out for Karrion Kross. Tell me how it's working out for Bronson Reed. Did you see Bronson Reed's tweet today? Not going to say what it is. Go look at his tweet. It almost sounds like, he might be on his way out. I'm not teasing anything. Just go on his social media. Can't just look. You got to watch. So that's what's going to happen. There's going to be some names that are going to stick around NXT a little bit longer because they don't have replacements. You know, Jinder Mahal could only go so far, and I certainly don't want them to have Trick Williams turn on Carmelo Hayes. Oh, fuck no. You know, they made that mistake with Toxic Attraction. They might need to get Mandy Rose back. I mean, she's only one person, but, they got to fix a couple of things. So, look, it's not the end of the world. NXT is still developing the talents of tomorrow. My God, I brought this up the other day. I'll show it to you one more time. This is Stand and Deliver a year ago. This is an autographed one I still have. I never gave it away. Maybe I will soon. But this is, you could pause it, you could look at it. But you look at Stand and Deliver 1 year ago, and I want to read you the names that are on here. Wesley, Nash Carter. It's a shame what happened with Nash Carter, but Wesley, his game has been upped. Imperium. Do I need to say more? Gunther versus LA Knight. Do I need to say any more? Alba Fire, Mandy Rose, Cora Jade, Io Shirai, Tommaso Ciampa, Toxic Attraction, Raquel Gonzalez, Dakota Kai, Solo Sikoa, Cameron Grimes, Carmelo Hayes, Santos Escobar, Grayson Waller, Bron Breakker, Dolph Ziggler. Almost every single person on here has their stock gone up big time. So you wonder a year from now, how many people in NXT right now, is their stock going to rise like this? For right now, maybe Tiffany Stratton, maybe Cora Jade. Nowhere near the names that they did in the last 12 months. So this might be an every 2 year deal with NXT. I think for the next 12 months, NXT's numbers are going to be poor. I wouldn't say really poor, but they're going to have some poor numbers. You're going to see fours. And the last time you saw NXT in a fours is a very long time. It might be 490, but there's going to be some weeks where it's going to be really fucking rough. I feel it. I see it. They are lacking those names. There's some, but right now Axiom is not a household name. Dragon Lee, there's a lot of hype, but, Dragon Lee has his first match and they can't even pull 600,000 views. Just think about that for a minute. Couldn't even maintain the same number of bits. Carmelo Hayes, reigning in the era of Melo, the reign of Melo, first night as champion, and the reigning goes down quite a bit. Now, yes, people are like, oh, there was a lot of news about Trump, and the news dominated, this and that, and maybe, maybe. But explain to me Monday night when Raw gets 2,300,000 viewers, and we had NCAA basketball playoffs, and I think, and other shit. You know, I know what it comes down to is you got wrestling fans out there, and a lot of wrestling fans choose to watch or do something other than see something in real time. Whenever the numbers go down, I don't blame it on news. I don't blame it on shootings. I don't blame it on earthquakes, tornadoes, debates, playoffs, sports, tragedies, deaths, marriages. I don't care what it is. I blame it on wrestling fans found something to watch or do instead of a wrestling show. That's what it comes down to. Because I know for a fact, for all those old folk out there like me, you go back even 10, 15 years ago, those ratings were always decent for that time period. And nobody blamed it on Survivor or blamed it on this or blamed it on that. And when Raw and even Nitro were getting crazy numbers, you never had sports or any other TV reality show or anything else saying, well, wrestling was on last night and it kicked our asses. No, you just, your viewers decided to do something else than watch your show. Period. All right. So, NXT, yesterday, 555,000 viewers. You know, they had Indy Hartwell go at it with Zoe Stark. Again, you already see the holes that Indy Hartwell really doesn't have anybody to feud with. Cora Jane made a return. Noam Dar made his return. And, you know, he's going to stick around. And, you know, they're going to do a little storyline with, like, some titles from overseas and everything. But still, even those names, I don't see how it really pulls in much as far as numbers go. So, let's talk briefly about these guys. You know, it's interesting. Joe Gacy is one of my favorite talents in NXT. And I don't know what it is with Joe Gacy. Remember Harland, Parker Boudreau? He was aligned with Joe Gacy, and he ultimately got released. Here it's a little different. The dyad, the grizzled young veterans, you know them as Zach Gibson and James Drake. Remember my Stand and Deliver recap on Saturday? Right after Stand and Deliver ended, I pointed out that this tweet by James Drake. I said, you know, this tweet caught my eye. Something is up about it. Said it Saturday afternoon, right after Stand and Deliver. He wrote on the tweet, dark match, pre-show, main show, different names, it doesn't matter. We'll always deliver, we'll always be grizzled. And they were frustrated. And yes, they were the dark match. And if you remember Saturday, I said, you know, it was really strange. Stand and Deliver, I think, was starting at 1 o'clock. And I turned the TV on at 12:40. And there was a match on. And I'm like, are they showing, like, highlights from, like, in the past to lead up to Stand and Deliver? No, it was the actual match. Chase University versus the Schism for rights to Chase University. I'm like, why is this happening before Stand and Deliver? So Saturday we thought, okay, they're probably just disappointed that they weren't even on the main show. And check this out. They went to WrestleMania. They went to WrestleMania. Right after WrestleMania is over, apparently they asked for their release from WWE. And they've been granted their release. Now, I got to be totally honest with you. Anybody that goes back with me at least 2 years, I used to crap on the Grizzled Young Veterans. Remember the Grizzled Young Veterans? The Grizzled Young Veterans. I crapped on them. I did not like them. It never clicked for me. We would always point out that their core. I remember they did a match against Breezango, and it was one of the lowest quarters in the history of NXT. And we pointed out how too often their quarter hour, their numbers would always nosedive. 80, 90, 130,000, 150,000 viewers which is insane for NXT levels. I did not like them at all. When they got repackaged as the Dyad with Joe Gacy, I actually thought, you know, okay, getting a little bit of a character, a little bit of an attitude. You might even remember I said that WWE's probably going to have to do comedy with them, similar to FTR. People forget when I made the prediction that they're going to have to do comedy with the Revival, and people are like, what the fuck are you talking about? They're not going to do comedy with the Revival. Anybody remember this? So they started doing a little bit of comedy with them, and it didn't click. Then they did the Schism stuff, and I'm like, okay, you know, I actually, it's a little bit different. You know, it's NXT standard, so I'm not going to think like, you know, Uber, it's not going to be Brood or anything like that. But I got to be honest with you. They actually clicked with me over the last, I'd say, 6 to 9 months. You see how fucking talented they are. I don't remember if they were in Progress Wrestling, but I remember seeing a couple of matches of them before coming to WWE. And I was like, wow, these guys, I mean, I always knew they could go, but they were just lacking something. And every time I looked at them, I always thought, yeah, one of them looks like the extra for the Dark Order, and the other one looks like that he wants to be Shawn Michaels for Halloween. I mean, tell me that I'm wrong on that. One of them looks like he could be a member of the Dark Order, and one of them could be Shawn Michaels for Halloween. That's how I always thought of them. But I actually started connecting. It's like Imperium. Anybody remember early on, I just felt that Imperium, just something wasn't clicking. Then I watched that match. I think it was against NXT. No, NXT. Duh, against MSK. I'm going on vacation tomorrow, everyone. I will be gone until Monday evening. So I got a little bit of vacation on the back of my mind. No joke, going away tomorrow. They took on MSK. And I was like, wow. I got to pay a little more attention in Imperium. Now I fucking love Imperium. Gunther, even Vinci I can handle, even though I still think Ilya Dragunov should replace Vinci. If in a perfect world, I want Ilya and I want Ludwig Kaiser to be a tag team. To me, that's the ultimate Imperium. Giovanni Vinci's Italian. You know, I can't get past that. Giovanni Vinci. But then I started feeling it for Imperium. Now they're one of my favorite tag teams. And I started feeling about Grizzled Veterans. I don't know why they couldn't make it to the main roster. I don't get it. They're decent enough where they can actually, I mean, I know why. I mean, they're obviously lacking a personality and they have no catchphrases. I mean, I know they had some, but the fans never clicked with it. The fans never caught on. But here we once again have Joe Gacy, who is paired with someone, and now they're gone. Parker Boudreau, he didn't request his release. He was blindsided by it. But here the Grizzled Young Veterans, the Dyad, they requested their release. They're gone. As far as we know, they're gone. Maybe something could be negotiated at the final hour. Who knows? You hold out hope that maybe they worked out a deal and they could go to the main roster. But in hindsight, you look at it and you have to admit to yourself, why were they in NXT for this long? You know what I mean? Like, there's some names. Like, even Roderick Strong. Even though we haven't seen him lately. Come on, guys. You know, like, there's some names that you take a step back and you're like, all right, why is this person's still in NXT after all this time? It's got to get to a point where, and it's a shame because now you realize how frustrated these guys were. These guys obviously were frustrated. I don't know how much of it is not going to the main roster. Maybe they're just homesick. That could be it too. Maybe they just feel like their careers are being wasted. Maybe they think they can make more money, you know, doing something else. I don't know. But I will admit that they did grow on me over the last, you know, 6-9 months. Say around the summertime of last year, I was like, okay, you know, they're no longer, let me go take a leak while they're wrestling. Or let me turn the computer on and set up the lights and all that. Because that's what happened with some people's matches. That's my opportunity to sneak in here and set everything up. But they're gone. And let me tell you something, that is a big void That is a huge fucking void for NXT standards. Because now you look at that tag team division, and Gallus is great. Don't get me wrong. But outside of Gallus and the Creed brothers, a lot of people think the Creed brothers are on their way to the main roster. You might be forced to keep the Creed brothers there for another 3 to 6 months. As ridiculous as that, listen, they're going to do another pay-per-view. And they are doing house shows. And they still have TV. And trust me, they're not going to get by with just Malik Blade and Idris Enofi. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. But I'm telling you, as someone who is a loyal NXT fan and follower, to the point that I did watch parties, I mean, no money, and was doing watch parties every Tuesday. And not only, and I want people to understand, I'm in my 50s now, and my ass hurts when I sit for an hour. Not only did we sit here for 2 hours to do watch parties, but I also did Patreon right after for another 2 hours. So my fat ass sat in this chair for 4 hours every Tuesday. I didn't do it other than the fact that I love wrestling and I enjoy NXT enough that it was worth doing. But I honestly believe for the next 12 months, NXT is going to fall into a rut. And I don't think it's going to be bad booking. I don't think it's going to be Shawn Michaels has lost his groove. I know he's lost his smile in the past, but I don't think it's going to be any of that. I think you're going to realize that they caught fire with some wrestlers so fast that they're going to have a little bit of a more difficult time trying to develop the next crop of wrestlers. So we'll see what happens. But you may see some additional WWE names going to NXT. You know, Dolph was great. AJ for that one night was great. You know, Viking Raiders for a short period of time was okay. In this year, I like it. But even in this year, it feels like they've blown a wet fart since they've been back in NXT. Jinder Mahal, you know, the fans warmed up to him because, you know, they see that the guy could actually work and he's helping the Stars of Tomorrow. It's not necessarily a demotion. You may have to bring a few names into NXT because you can't start having it to the point where people just disinterested in NXT. You got to keep some level of interest there. So, all right. We're almost going to jet out of here. And I'm looking at my news to see if there's anything else to get into. There really isn't. So, one last thing before I start wrapping it up. And we'll do some super shout-outs. We definitely have to do a couple of super shout-outs. Let me get that ready. I was fucking around today with just a little bit. Yeah, super shout-outs. Hey, I got to change the colors now. I don't like, it looks like shit brown. You know, anybody ever take dumps in those shades? I think the only shade that it should be is the one on the far left. I think if you have those other shades, you might have to worry about internal bleeding, at least on that second one. Don't ask me why those colors popped up. I haven't been able to fix them yet. But, you know, you may want to check it out for the final episode. It's sad, even though it's negative, it's sad to see all of these websites just giving up and not even reporting MLW news because they don't want to report the obvious. This coming Tuesday is the final episode of MLW Underground on Reels. We have talked about, we're the only place who have talked about over the last 5 weeks, Reels dropped all of their advertising for MLW. MLW's numbers were nowhere near what Reels thought they were going to be. Reels is not going to come out and say that. They're professionals. They want to come across like they did a good deal. You think they want people to think that they did a stupid bad deal? MLW, having the lawsuit they have with WWE, and then when you see them after they filed the appeal, and then you realize what they based it on, and it's all tweets and posts by Meltzer and others. Believe me, those people in Reels, they're not wrestling fans, and they're probably not Observer newsletter subscribers, but they're not stupid. They look at this lawsuit, and they're like, who the fuck are we doing business with here? Are you fucking crazy? Get away from these people. They're trouble. That's, in my opinion, that's how they look at it. I'm not saying it is fact. I'm just opining. But you look at MLW, their numbers were nowhere near what Reels thought they were going to get. Remember, they thought they were getting the On Patrol Live demographic. All their ads were pulled. Nobody wants to report it because they want to keep whatever relationship they can have with Corp Power. So they just look the other way and they pretend, oh, I didn't even know it was on. Oh, you know, I had a wedding to go to. I completely forgot. Oh, you know, my pet is sick. That people make excuses for it. But and then Enzo, he parted ways with MLW, and MLW tried to play it off that they released him. And Enzo's like, I didn't even have a fucking contract with them. We just had a handshake. You want me to pull up the proof? And then Enzo decided to be a little bit more professional about it. And Enzo's like, look, you know, it was, I had fun and blah, 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 blah. But even he's gone. I think Alicia Tout asked for her release. And someone else did, too. A few people. It's a shame because MLW, I think they're not closing up. People thought that there was some promise that if they could get some decent exposure on Reels, that maybe they can up their game to the next level and maybe be a true alternative. You know, that Impact Wrestling, unfortunately, was not. New Japan certainly hasn't. New Japan had Forbidden Doors, Open Doors, Smashing Doors, The Doors. They've done everything in their mother. They had AEW involvement. Their ratings didn't move a cent. It didn't budge at all. You had all of that Forbidden Door last year, and during the whole time, they thought that fans were like, oh, wow, look, it's Doa, whatever the fuck his name is. He's on at New Japan, and oh, it's right after Impact. Let me go check it out. Let me see what New Japan's about. No. Mercedes versus Kairi. They aired it on New Japan. They aired it on New Japan, and the match did 60,000 viewers. 60,000. Some of my friends who podcast get more viewers than that. And a lot of people did not buy that pay-per-view. Did you see all press releases? Oh, we make big money. Did you see big press releases for the buy rates for all that? You really didn't see nothing. So now you get the opportunity. Oh, shit, I could watch it on free TV. 60,000 for that match. The overall rating was like 51,000 or something like that. None of these places are catching on. So MLW, there was some hope that, you know, Corp Bauer is not a bad booker. He's got a creative mind. And he's a little bit savvy with, you know, his talents and what he could do. His contracts are pretty much worth shit. But when you look at every together, honestly, remember we talked about dumpster fires? You know, the women surrounding Matt Riddle except for his girlfriend? This is like the dumpster fire of wrestling promotions. This is like you just want to stay clear away from them. And it's a shame because they got some good wrestlers there. But this Tuesday is the final MLW Underground on Reels. So maybe you want to go check it out for the final episode. And we'll see. Maybe they could work out a new deal with Reels. Maybe they get a different day, a different time slot. But listen, it doesn't cost a lot of money to advertise on Reels. I'm not going to give you specifics because I never really looked into it that deep. But believe me when I tell you, with these independent networks out there, now because they worked out the deal with Peacock, it's different. And that's another reason. I mean, Peacock is still doing WWE stuff. Just because Endeavor is doing this deal doesn't mean that Peacock goes away. And Reels now airs their content on Peacock, and the only content they can't air is MLW. So every time you go to Peacock during the time MLW is on, there's just black screen. Nothing. You basically, you see this.
Sit back.
Oh, no, no. Back, oh, shit. Relax, I just fucked up. Oh, no, no.
Don Tony gives you God news and reviews from AEW.
Oh, I fucked it up. I see, whenever I try to, like, improvise during the show, this is what you would have saw. Wait, that's not what you're supposed to see either. Well, you get the deal. You would have just saw a black screen. A black fucking screen. Let me see a black screen, damn it. There you go. That's what you've seen. There just wouldn't have been any super shout-outs. That's what you see on Peacock during Thursday nights at 10 o'clock. That's what you see. All right, now we could go back. Let's have a couple of super shout-outs. Who is the first one for tonight? Gamers Block with the Ocho. I like that, with the Ocho. Thank you, Gamers Block. These pillars of AEW are not ready for the main event. Sammy and Jungle Boy, it's been 4 years, and these guys are all falling the mic. Well, I'll say it like this. When Double or Nothing happens, they're not going to all be in the corner, all four of them. Each one will be in its respective corner. They'll be staring at each other. They'll be looking around in the crowd, and the crowd will be having dueling chants. You'll hear Sammy, Sammy, Jungle Boy, Darby Allin, MJF, MJF. And they're not going to suddenly go, well, let me tell you something, brother. Like, they're not going to start cutting promos on each other. They're going to be wrestling. Yeah, some of them are not all that spectacular on the mic. I think MJF covers up a lot of it. I just think the timing needs to be a little bit better. Sammy Guevara, that promo was not necessary for tonight. They should have done it next week. You don't want, I don't care if it's Long Island. I don't care if it's Bizarro Land. I don't care if it's MJF territory. You want a promo like that to be so powerful that even if Sammy Guevara is a shit in a lot of people's eyes, even if he's a punk in a lot of people's eyes, even though they don't like him, they don't like his relationship, you know, skills or whatever, that promo tonight, you can't help but to give a little respect for the guy. So, you know, not being on the mic, oh, people like my Hulk Hogan thing. When I don't think about it, they come out good. When I think about them too much, they're awful. But, yeah, they're not, listen, they're not all that spectacular. Look, Sammy Guevara is not that great on the mic. This might have been his best promo that he's ever caught in AEW, and I'm not even kidding when I say that. Darby Allin, you know, he cut that funny promo talking about complaining online until you actually, like, thought about what he was saying, like, who's he actually talking about, you know? But, yeah, they may not be that strong in the promo department, but they're going to tear it up. They're going to tear it up. Listen, back in the day, and I talked about this before, I saw a dark match in Madison Square Garden. Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle were in that dark match, and the match was awful. Everybody in the garden thought it was shit. This is before they were on the main roster. This was right before they were on the main roster. And they were the future of tomorrow. When you saw some of these guys in OVW, you cringed when you heard them talk. You know, my God, some of them really cringe. Randy Orton, I think, was a little cringe in OVW, but you still got a taste of it tomorrow. So, you know, they're not that strong on the mic for some of them. I think the match itself will be pretty good. So thank you for that, Gamers Block. Steve Joseph, with a two spot, with two words, and two words only, and very fitting, Christian Cage. Tonight, Christian says no words. Steve says no words. Christian just looked at the camera, and Steve just looked at the super chat. Christian Cage. Let's see how long he's in AEW. People still haven't gotten the answer to that question. I, unfortunately, you know, I do have some friends in AEW that I do talk to here and there, but I'm not going to turn around and say, hey, could you find out for me how long Christian Cage's contract is for? I'm not a journalist. Like, I opine, and I do get little news things here and there. But something like that, like if I really want to know something, that's probably not it. But I'm a little surprised that a lot of these news sources out there won't get it, won't get the answer. It's pretty interesting. The Kenny Omega stuff still fascinates me because some of you that do tune into my shows have gone to Meltzer, have gone to other news places and say, you know, you always talk about Kenny Omega getting time added to his contract because of injury, but what about his executive deal? What did they do about that? Just because he had a bad leg or a bad arm or a bad head or whatever it was, he couldn't see, doesn't mean he couldn't work in the office. Like, what happened with that contract? Could you let us know about it? And they just ignore you. It's almost as if you're talking a different language, like they can't see you. What did you say? I heard something, but they just ignore it. It's like they only want to put out there what they want you to know. The people need to know. Neil Ray with a 20 spot. Thank you, Real. Paying for my tolls tomorrow. DT, it's been a while. Hope you've been well. Sorry, I haven't seen your live show for a while. It's all good. It's all good. We do a little bit more on the pre-record. Not everything needs to be live anymore, and we've done that strategically. You know, I don't want to get into any controversy tonight, but, you know, we've talked about it before. Wednesdays and Mondays, it's different. Everybody does recaps after the shows are over, but, you know, I've had a few shows where I've changed dates and times, and within a few weeks, I see other people, you know, changing their dates and times to go right up with mine. So when Kevin and I decided to come back and do some shows again, we were going to do them live. And then we were like, Kev, you know, since a lot of people are not plugging our shit, they don't want to see us back. You know that if we advertise a live date and time, you know that they're going to do a show the same time, even if it's just talking about paint drying. So I said, let's do a pre-recorded one. and we'll release it on certain days and times. We'll see what happens. And the funny thing about it, something really interesting, is that with WrestleMania, this is something you all get a kick out of, WrestleMania 39, we decided to do the recap Tuesday night, 48 hours after Mania. People are like, oh, it's already over. But we also want to talk about the Raw after WrestleMania, what's going to happen on SmackDown, the road to Backlash, the road to Saudi Arabia, certain other scenarios, other things. So we decided to make it like a huge fucking show. And we're like, let's see who doesn't release their content until late Tuesday night. And we found five podcasts that have done this before with my shows, like changing dates and times to go up directly against mine. Five podcasters who conveniently put their stuff on iTunes the very same time we put the show up last night, maybe within an hour. And I'm like, why are people putting up WrestleMania Night 1 recaps on Tuesday night at midnight? That seems a little odd to you, especially when they usually put it up right after. And that's the game that goes on behind the scenes. No, I'm not naming them because I'm not doing controversy anymore. I'm not going to, if you want to do some research, you could figure out who they are. But the point is that, you know, we're going to do things at certain days and times that are convenient for us and we think would get more people's attention. So not everything has to happen 1 minute after something goes off the air. So we'll probably continue doing that. But don't feel, any of you, don't feel like you have to tune into stuff live. I mean, I love when you guys tune in live because I see the feedback, the interaction. I feel like we're all hanging out, you know, talking about shit together. You know, when it's pre-recorded, then obviously we already said what we said and you have to just sit there and listen. So believe me, I like doing live stuff, but, you know, things are changing a little bit. But it's changing for the better. In the end, it's changing for the better. So if you look at the numbers for what we do, trust me, give us about 6 months, we'll be back in the top 10. We'll be back in the top 10, guaranteed. Shout out to the boys in the chat. Miss you all. Been MIA, crazy buyout of WWE. Will it be bad now? No. No. People despise Vince McMahon. And I don't want to get into the whole tirade again that we talked about yesterday, but Lance Storm brought up a good point. Vince McMahon did not take time off last year because he was tired. He took off because it was a major scandal. He gave over $10 million in money to women to agree not to talk bad about him. Nobody went to the cops. They went to the accountants. And as much as people don't want to accept it, Vince McMahon committed no crimes. As much as you want to believe that he committed crimes, he did not commit crimes. People are very angry that all these major conglomerates, Saudi Arabia, NBC Universal, USA Network, Fox, I think they're both, the first one was the same, Fox, Endeavor, why do you all want to deal with Vince McMahon? Why do you want to deal with a pervert, with this, that this, and they're angry, and they're angry. So they're going to push the doom and gloom. Oh, he's back in creative. Oh, this person. Listen, you know, some people's bosses, you work for a boss, and sometimes you don't like the boss. You want to leave, go leave. Go work on the indies in front of 50 people. I'm not defending it. I'm just like, these people got the greatest job in the world. Vince McMahon's not going to live forever. Forever! So if you don't like it that bad, then leave, quit. But the people online, it doesn't faze me at all. All I know is that WWE sold for $9 billion, not $2 billion. WWE had $2.3 million on Monday. Yes, the show sucked for about 80% of it. I'm not going to deny it. But all I know is that they had 165,000 people across 2 days make crazy-ass money, breaking revenue profits, records all over the place. If you pay attention, the people that seem to be going to the events doesn't reflect the loudest noise on social media. The people who enjoy themselves, I think, keep quiet. Because you know what happens, guys. If you go on social media right now and defend Vince, if you go on social media right now and say, listen, WWE, we had an awesome weekend. Okay, it was a shitty Raw, but the people are like, no, no, Vince is ruining the product. He's killing it. Triple H is going to be one step in his grave. He's ruining it. In a week from now, it's going to be all ruined. Weird how nobody in the stock market is like, hey, you know, you're right. I'm going to sell my stock. No, it goes up another $10 a share. But everybody has a right to their opinion. I choose to ignore those people. Look what I posted on social media early today. I took Sami Zayn's promo from the night after, well, the SmackDown after Elimination Chamber, where Sami Zayn said, you know, I let everybody down. I disappointed everyone. I failed and this and that. But then I realized in WWE, the story never ends. Just new chapters. Everybody's cheering. Triple H says it on the exact same words, the WrestleMania recap, and people call it bizarre, weird, you know, because it doesn't fit what they like or dislike. And that's their right. But I choose to stay away from those people. My point is, I put that on Twitter, got very, very little response, very little, because it's touche. And people are not going to sit there and say, you know, you're right. Maybe I should be more of a wrestling fan. You know, who the fuck wants to do that? You, if I put a tweet right now and I just write, fuck you, Vince, three words, fuck you, Vince, I guarantee I get 500 likes. I could be talking about Vince Neil. Thank you, Neil. Oh, Neil, Vince Neil Ray. Theme parks with Johnny with 10 spot. Thank you, Johnny. DT, my opinion on wrestling sites saying that the top wrestlers in WWE want their release because Vince McMahon is back in charge and the deal. Well, since they are saying that they're top wrestlers, why are they not naming the names? They're just assuming. And yeah, I do believe some wrestlers who Vince was never high on, I would be annoyed. You know, my job is based on my performance, and, you know, if the top dog didn't like me before and he steps aside and someone else hires me back and then that person goes back in power, you know, I might not be happy about it. I'm not going to sit here and say that wrestlers are not happy. There are absolutely some wrestlers in WWE that are not happy right now. Oh, well, you signed up for this. You signed up to work for WWE. What was that show? You take the good, take the bad, and you have the facts of life, the facts of life. You know, hey, it's risk. It's risk. I really don't have much sympathy for someone who makes $60,000, $100,000, $200,000. This is the profession that they got into. You know, some of those wrestlers who did come back, they did interviews, said, look, I understand what I'm getting back myself back into. All right? If they want out, then show your coconuts and get out. Until I see people quitting, you know, I don't buy that shit online. Absolutely, there's some people unhappy. But if I go on here right now, guys, breaking news. I talk to people I know within WWE, and there's some major stars there that are not happy with Vince, that they're out. As soon as their contract is up, they're out of there. How do you verify that? How do you, like, it's so easy. It's sausage. That's what it is. So my reaction to that, it's, you know, if people are not going to name their, well, I can't name the person's name, then that person would be let go by WWE. It's just like the Jay White stuff. Again, I'm not throwing any shade against any news reporters. And it was true. Some people in WWE were holding out hope that WWE would work out a deal with Jay White. What they left out was the people in WWE. It was the wrestlers. It wasn't a management. And I'm sorry, the wrestlers who wanted to always work with Jay White and WWE, they're not the ones that sign the checks. They're not the ones who are. They could put in a good word. They could put in a recommendation. But sorry, the employees don't do the hiring. You know, so that's what people seem to leave out. So when you read a lot of this stuff, you know, understand who they're talking to. And most of the people they're talking to are the ones that are probably not doing very well right now and the ones who are probably very, very low on the food chain. Because you look at the top stars. Name me people. Who do you think at the top of the ladder is going to? You think Roman Reigns said that? You think Brock Lesnar said that? You think John Cena? You think Austin Theory? You think Randy Orton? You think who? Who do you think these people are talking about? What major stars in the WWE? Bayley? Why? Because her segment was cut on Raw Monday, which Kevin and I talked about yesterday and ripped that to shreds about online. People are taking their emotion and trying to turn it into news. That's what you got to stay away from. And unfortunately, what I say right now, it's unpopular, but it's true. It is unpopular, but it's true. You put that out there. You think all the haters to Vince in the WWE are like, you know, you're right. I think we actually should. You know, we just had a great WrestleMania, and, you know, we should kind of like wait and take a wait-and-see approach and blah, blah. Why is nobody going after Endeavor? Endeavor, how could you agree? How could you put this guy back in? Nobody's going back to Endeavor. Why? Because they know Dana White or Endeavor, these people. They're trying to say, get the fuck out of my face. They'll fucking curse you out. They'll want to slap you in the head. These are people. Listen, as I brought up the other day, don't be surprised if WWE does some TV 14 programming again. You know, look at the people who are merging with WWE. You think they're going to go out there and put Barney on TV? You think they're going to go out there and put, like, cartoons? Look, everybody, it's Mr. Wiener. Yay! No, these are people out there be like, hey, go fuck yourself. You don't like it? Go fuck yourself. That's why none of these people are going after. And who are they going after? Who are they going after? They're writing petitions. Don't go to the shows. Don't watch the shows. Don't buy the merchandise. Don't do this. And we all together could force Vince out. No. You have a problem, you go see the manager. You know, I have a problem. You know, I don't like, let me see, speak to your supervisor. Nobody wants to talk to the supervisor because the supervisor here is like, get the fuck out of my face. Am I wrong? Honestly, am I wrong? I'm not wrong. But if I say that online, if you put that on social media, you'll have 1,000 people that tell you, get the fuck out of here, you Vince McMahon dick sucker. That's what you get. Most of the people out there that are just trying to enjoy wrestling, they just keep quiet. I keep quiet online. Once in a while, I'll put a little thing here. I'll put something out there that I know is spot on, and they can't like it. When I even posted the tribute to this guy, and in there I wrote, for the life of me, I still can't understand how Vince McMahon saw that these two guys could be lovable the way they were. When they were the sheep herders, bleeding and hardcore and stuff, and Vince McMahon saw them as lovable. I'm still blown away to this day. But because in my tribute, I gave a little compliment to Vince. Ooh, we cannot appreciate what you said. I cannot acknowledge that. Because in it, I'm giving a little credit to the pervert, to the sexual predator. It is what it is. So, all right. I'm going on vacation. I hope everybody has a great rest of their week. Enjoy SmackDown Friday. Enjoy Rampage Battle of the Belts. Should be fun. And I will be back as far as shows Monday. I expect to be back in New York Monday by around 6 or 7 p.m. It should give me enough time to make up a thumbnail or something for a Raw recap. I mean, obviously, I think we'll get some updates as far as Brock Lesnar goes, but I'm telling you, if you didn't check out Kevin Owens and my show from yesterday, you have to tune in. The scenario that we put out there about Cody Rhodes, it's going to happen. I'm telling you, we see it, feel it, taste it, and we gave everyone a little bit of an education about some stuff with history. We don't ever require anybody to know your history. But if you don't know the history, you would not understand why Cody is actually doing Dusty right now. He is actually following to the T what Dusty Rhodes did back in the 80s with the Horsemen and Ric Flair. If you listen to what we talked about, and we brought up facts, we talked about Magnum TA, we talked about a few others, and especially when you realize how much Triple H loves Ric Flair. You know, Shawn Michaels just refurbished some of his own storylines for Roxanne Perez and Gigi Dolan and JC Jane. Because, yes, you do it in music, you do it in movies, you do it in TV shows, you do it, you know, across the board, you do it in wrestling. You have storylines from yesteryear that you bring back in a different way. You try to do it to 2023 standards, and you try to put your own little spin on it. AEW does it. Sometimes they do tributes and you don't even realize it after. And then people are like, oh, that was a tribute to Bret Hart, or that was a tribute to this, or they were recreating this. And you don't even know it until afterwards. That's because if we don't know the history, you don't realize it's happening until afterwards. And that's not a bad thing. But listen to what we talked about. It really, I'm telling you, at the end of the day, beyond spot on. And it might, for anybody out there that's really upset about Cody losing, and remember, I predicted Cody to win. And I'm even disappointed. But if anyone out there is really disappointed about him losing, tune in. Download the show that Kevin and I did yesterday. I promise you, at the end of the conversation, and we said it right at the beginning of the show, at the end of the conversation, I really believe you're going to take a step back and be like, all right, if they do that, okay, that's fucking cool. I'm telling you, it's happening. Brock Lesnar is only out there because Saudi Arabia and SummerSlam are too far away. They needed to put a bump in the road for Cody Rhodes to stay away from Roman Reigns for a little while. It's too soon. Those events are not around the corner. Brock Lesnar is the scenic route, the bump in the road that we always talk about. Listen to the show. It all makes sense. And everyone, thank you as always for the support. Absolutely love, you know, our conversations, especially over the last month, month and a half. I mean, obviously, WrestleMania and the hype and the energy and all the other promotions as well. You know, you just get into that mood. And I'm not going to let it ruin because of a crappy Raw or because Vince McMahon is using some of his power that Endeavor chose him to do. We take it or leave it. We take it or leave it. Endeavor just paid all this money. They're the ones that agreed to this. Don't like it? Complain to Endeavor. And let's see if they listen. Be well, everybody. Much love. I'll catch you all again on the next show. And where is my outro? Here is my outro. Good night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.